Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we can't not talk about net neutrality. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. We probably shouldn't do this.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't. We may end up regretting this.
Yeah. Dear listener, we were talking before the show about what should we talk about. And the big news this week is that net neutrality was repealed, and we tried to talk about something. We're like, well, we could talk about this.
We found a really cool thing, which we might talk about next week.
Yes, but we just went off on this like back and forth about net neutrality. And we're like, let's just press record and start talking about it. So prepare your caps lock button to yell at us in email. Mm-hmm. And you probably already heard this a million times everywhere else, but couldn't not do it. So if you want to listen to us hang out and talk about net neutrality, please stay tuned.
If you don't, come back next week, because we totally understand.
Exactly. All right. So I think the reason why we're sort of kid gloving it a little bit is because, I mean, I got to be totally honest, I'm kind of sick about hearing about net neutrality. And I feel like this is the 10th time it's come up. I know it hasn't been that many times, but I'm signed up to all these sort of web evangelist, fight for the future and EFF, and I'm subscribed to all these things. I donate to these organizations. I am on that side of the fence, but they're wearing me down. Both
yeah.
sides.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm automatically against anything that Comcast is for or Verizon is for. It's so easy to be like, it's just so easy to be like, there's no way our incentives are aligned. There's no way. I want the consumer protection that the government provides against whatever these companies want to do. I just don't believe them. But on the other hand, let's call them the right wing, or the, I don't know what else to call them. Let's call the right wing. And then the left wing, which I consider myself a part of, it's just gotten so shrill, and everything feels like FUD, and just a lot of vagaries, and it feels very high school. And the thing that keeps me on the side of those kind of pro net neutrality people is people like Vint Cerf and Tim Berners-Lee being like, this is a bad idea. Yeah. So people who know, who I trust know, and my just sort of general anti, I don't have any great love for Verizon or AT&T really. So, I'm generally on the side of pro net neutrality. I put the JavaScript banners up on my site. This site's been blocked by our ISP and all that stuff. But man, I am just worn down. I'm sick of hearing about it.
Yeah. I mean, you just described politics in general for the last 12 months. I mean, but still, yeah, it's just, yeah, there's only so much mental energy you can devote to something. And as much as I, like you, I'm in favor of net neutrality. I think it needs to be a thing. I certainly support it. I'm not convinced it's going to immediately be the internet apocalypse that everyone fears it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what I think one thing that, here's my understanding of what net neutrality even means. And I am not even convinced that this is what the regulations do.
Okay.
But it seems to be the case that this is what the regulations do. It seems to be the case that the idea is that the regulations prevent the plumbing from telling you which water you can have.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
So, it's like, okay, you put all these pipes in the ground. That was a lot of work, and I'm happy to pay you for all time immemorial for usage of those pipes. But you didn't create the water, and perhaps. And you shouldn't really be able to tell me what, I guess there's no, the tough thing is you can't like choose between Evian and Poland Spring
right.
coming out of your sink.
Right.
But I just feel like, look, you own the pipes. You didn't create any of the data that's going through the pipes. So why should you really have any say about, I don't even want to get into the argument, but so I see them as dumb pipes. They don't see themselves as dumb pipes. Anybody except the people who own the pipes, I feel like the obvious thing should be that, okay, we'll pay for use of the pipes, but don't tell us what to put through the pipes.
Yeah, the pipes are there. We're going to use them however we want to use them. I mean, you can't pay $13 a month for a NetScript subscription and then have Comcast go, oh, you want Netflix? That's another $9, please.
That feels wrong, right? But yeah. So here's the thing. To them, it feels like cable, TV.
Well, cable TV died, and for good reason.
Right. So it feels like them trying, the sort of, from where I'm sitting, sort of naive position, it feels like them trying to resuscitate the cable bundles model. Mm-hmm. On the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, fine. So a couple of arguments I've seen online that really did kind of make me raise my eyebrows and go, huh. One was that, okay, fine. You don't feel like you should have to pay more to access certain sites, but how many sites do you really go to? And what if it turns out that it's actually less to just access the three sites you go to? I'm like, oh, okay. That's interesting. And then the other thing is, I don't think anybody's saying that they're going to block access to sites. I think what they're saying is they're going to throttle access to sites, but I could be wrong about that.
I think the elimination of net neutrality allows them to block access, but I don't see it.
Right. Like why, like of all the, it's, I could see things like, I could see things like big corporations getting in fights about stuff like that, but I don't see this. Call me naive. I just don't see this affecting. Honestly, I don't see it affecting innovation. I don't see how this would affect innovation or the average person who is the sort of democratization aspect of the internet, where the barrier to entry to 7 billion people worldwide or 4 billion adults worldwide, the barrier to entry is zero. You ask no one for permission. You put up a website and no one even does that anymore. You basically create a WordPress account. Well, what happens if they say, oh, you know what? All WordPress accounts are blocked. I don't even like, why would, what? I don't get it. Like, what's the business motive for that?
Like, I mean, maybe there's some concern that like, there's going to be the AT&T Time Warner merger. There's all kinds of like cable companies buying news companies, and maybe there's concerns about I'm going to block the competition. So if you subscribe to my company to this conglomerate's internet, then you can only access other news sites that we control.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just triggered the catchphrase, the balkanization of the internet, where it's really not the internet; it's the web that anybody cares about. I think. Is it real? It is the internet that they're talking about, regulating traffic on the internet. But it seems to me that that's being conflated a lot with websites and the web. And I don't know. Like I said, I'm just so sick of hearing about it. I'm like, fine, do it. See what happens. And, if something mm-hmm. happens, the flip side argument is that they would compete. But that doesn't really work either, because who... because we're talking about home broadband here. Like, we're not talking about cellular. So this
right.
is
I
just
believe
like,
cellular is its own entity,
yeah, I believe
its own thing.
That's separate, I think. Weirdly, but I believe that it's separate. So this is basically like broadband going into your home or office, which I barely care about as it is. I mean, I go to Amazon and Netflix and that's it.
Yeah. And the places that rely more heavily on that broadband, your universities and hospitals and government and that sort of stuff, they're going to either have protections or they're going to have higher tiered service anyway. They already do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. In my office, I have a business line that I pay way more for. Mm-hmm. And presumably, so that's the thing. It's like, I'm not arguing against net neutrality, but it's over. So, okay, now it's repealed. So let's see what happens. And I guess we're kind of talking about like, well, what do we think is going to happen? And I don't really think that much is going to happen. I really don't. I'll be surprised. And you can be the first person, dear listener, to send me an all caps email and be like, see, you idiot. But so think about it. Like right now, what are we, how many days are we into the current administration? Next presidential election is what? 2020?
20, yes.
So.
If we live that long.
You got to realize, like, these companies are so big, they can barely get out of their own way. Okay. So somebody like Comcast, their website's already unusable, mm-hmm. which is kind of ironic, right? Or like AT&T's is comically bad.
It's horrible on mobile.
You can't figure out, like, if your website is so bad that it feels like I should call someone. You might as well just take your website down.
Yeah, if calling someone is the easier option.
Right. So, okay. And some people might argue that it's like that on purpose, so you do call someone, but I don't buy that because I've worked with lots of big companies on their web presence, and all of these big websites look exactly like what you get out of a giant company. I don't believe for a second that they're a mess on purpose.
No, I don't either. I think it's just a natural result of the sort of bureaucracy and red tape and multiple levels of management and
And turf wars. So if you imagine, all right, so they've got about 3 years before, please God, almost certainly a Democrat's going to be in the White House. But let's just say that there's a Democrat in the White House. They've got 3 years to update their disaster area of a website, to come up with new pricing plans. They're probably already prepared. They've probably been having meetings about this for a decade. They put together some plans. Now they have to update their website. They have to update everything. They have to update their stores. They have to send out print stuff, send it to places.
They have to update their billing system.
Yeah. They have to update
their monitoring and metering system. Like, there's a huge amount of infrastructure updates that have to happen as well.
Right. And maybe they're in place. I doubt it. So they would have to do all of that in 3 years, fat chance, and then
hope that it didn't get undone.
And then if a Democrat comes in and they just put the regulations back, they're SOL. So it seems to me that that what this really boils down to in practical terms is less of an Armageddon scenario for the internet and more of a situation where they're going to pick and choose they're going to cherry pick.
Yeah.
Like, if they can do something, it's going to be to cherry pick. Go after companies like, or content like Disney or the NFL, or like, this might just be them being able to charge make a deal with the NFL to put games on the internet finally.
Yeah. I mean, you already have to be subscribed to this cable company to watch this sports ball game over the internet.
Right. So, Which is super weird.
It's super weird and stupid and annoying. And
I care about it literally one day per year on Thanksgiving. And I swear to God, every Thanksgiving for the past probably 5 years since we cut the cord, I'm willing to pony up $100 so my father-in-law can watch a football game. I would pay $100 for one day of football. More than that. I'd pay more than that.
Yeah.
Because the look on his face every time, it's like, oh, yeah, you're still using that like antenna from the basement. Anyway.
It's, it's certainly going to have some practical implications, and some of them are not going to be good. But at the same time, it feels more like in some ways, it feels a lot more symbolic than a practical.
Right. I totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah. It feels like a defeat. I agree that it feels like a defeat, but it's more ideological than I think, fingers crossed, it doesn't turn into I just can't imagine them putting the infrastructure in place to do something like, metering, like live data metering per site. You know what I mean? Like it's so offensive to me that a tethering plan to tether my computer to my phone, it is deeply offensive to me that there's a different price for that. Like, who cares what device I'm using the data from?
Right. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't have to pay extra.
It doesn't even make sense. How would you even know? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, there's data that's coming from my phone. There's traffic coming through my phone to your radio tower. And by virtue of probably a deal with Apple with Apple or whoever manufactured your Android phone, you're not going to be allowed to tether a computer to this phone. Unless you pay more money. So like, the only way that they would know, like, you could just say,
yeah, I mean, you can jailbreak your phone or root your phone and tether all you want and not pay a penny extra.
Except, right. Not like, oh, it's extra $50 a month to hook your computer to this thing. You still have to pay the data.
Right. You still have to pay the data.
Mm. And so now, like, that, this is an interesting segue, because the primary computing platform for the average bear, which is the people that supposedly the defenders of the internet care about, like, the everyday person who's using the web, they're already used to data caps. Like, if you want to fight about something, get rid of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Majority of them are using the internet on their phones and tablets and other mobile devices. I have a lot of friends who aren't, you know, they aren't in the tech industry like we are.
Mm-hmm.
And a good number of them either don't have computers or never use them. And it's not like they don't have them because they can't afford them. It's just they don't have them because it's not something they use anymore outside of the office or school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why would you? It's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go sit in the corner while everybody's on the couch in front of the fire? I don't think so. It's just weird. It's not a casual computing posture. It's not even, I mean, you can't even call it computing anymore, really. So here's something that I could see a big fight. I could see a big fight between the carriers and YouTube or Google, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Because, oh God, I just can't bring myself to care. I'm sorry. They beat me down. They beat me. I just don't care. I just don't care.
Just wake me up in like 2020 and.
Yeah, if I have to pay extra so my kids can watch YouTube, I really don't care. I'm already paying extra for Netflix. I don't really care who I'm paying. I honestly don't. I guess I gave up. So send me the hate mail. It's fine.
Yeah, and I mean, there's the argument that giving up is what they want. They want you to give up.
Right. Yeah. Well, they want. So here's the other thing, though. Like, I am the fear that I used to have about. I just can't bring myself to be. Here's the thing. I really can't bring myself to be actually scared of Verizon or Comcast or AT&T. I think they're utterly predictable dinosaur businesses that are going to do things slowly, and they have no nefarious motive other than delivering shareholder value. Like, I just they just don't scare me. Do I have an ideological mismatch with what they're choosing to charge for? Yeah. Am I going to pay it? Yeah. You know. So, okay, fine. Maybe I'm not a mat. You know, maybe I'll turn out to eat in 2 years. I might be eating these words, and that's fine.
But would it cost you $700 a month to access the internet?
See, it doesn't make sense. Like, the market won't support that. They're not going to say the internet is for the rich people only.
Right. That exactly. They're not going to do anything that the market won't support.
And they're mass market companies.
Yeah, and they can't. And like they can't just like outside of the U.S. people are largely unaffected by this decision, and all of these companies, you know, they have, I mean, obviously you can't go to like Europe and sign up for Comcast internet. So they don't have like direct competition in that sort of way, but they certainly have interest and investments and ties to international markets.
Mm-hmm. The thing that's, I'm a lot more scared about Facebook, Google, Amazon. I'm more scared of Amazon than Verizon.
Oh, we use Amazon every day.
Yeah, like, so I'm way more addicted to I don't know. It's like we're past a certain phase, like a phase. We're at the top of an S curve right now. It feels like to me, where there's sort of the internet bubble in the early 2000s, and like, what are we, 20 years past that almost?
Mm-hmm.
And there was the Wild West thing, and it felt like anything could happen. And okay, you know, like think about the gold rush, the actual gold rush, not the metaphor. You know, when people were like, you know, on a donkey with pans clanging on the side to get to California.
Killing themselves to get into the Alaskan wilderness. Yeah.
Right. To maybe find some gold. Like, that's what the internet felt like. And you're like, and people were actually finding gold. Like, oh, this is so cool. And like, this, you know.
$1 million homepage.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like selling domain addresses for $300,000 or whatever. So that's a phase that a lot of people grew up, and it's sort of the ideology of that phase, and it was a phase in that technology area, is like baked into people's, I think, a lot of people's personal identity. It comprises a piece of mind. So okay, but it doesn't feel like that anymore, regardless of net neutrality. And it's not because of Verizon or Comcast. It's because of Google, Apple, Facebook, and Amazon. And they own the home screen. Those companies own the home screen on your phones. They're the most valuable companies in the world. And it's all those four companies, Amazon is the scariest. Not scariest. They're the most unassailable. So I guess if you're trying to assail them, they're the scariest. If you're trying to compete with them, they're the scariest.
Yeah, I can see that.
if you look at a chart of the, if you look at a chart of the, you can look at those four companies on charts in a variety of ways, like how much time is spent on mobile on any one of their primary websites, for example. And the lines are kind of about the same. They go back and forth, but, you know, they maybe trade spots and stuff, or things like device penetration. You can look at that. But if you look at number of employees, Amazon's not even, they're like on the moon and everybody else is in the Grand Canyon. Right. Like Amazon has something like, I'm going to exaggerate, but it's something like 30 times more employees than any of the other three. And it is now, growing on like a spike.
Is that because of their physical goods shipment component and warehouses and all that? I mean, can you really factor that in?
I think you can, because it, I think what it does, what it tells you, tells me, is that their ambitions are dramatically bigger than any of the other three.
Mm, good point. Yeah.
Apple sells hardware, period. Period. Like everything else they do is to sell fancy hardware.
Chamfered edges and bells and glass.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that'll be cars at some point, but it's still going to be hardware. They're going to make their money selling hardware. Google is going to make their money off, well, they make their money off ads, but they would say data and like, but it's ads. Come on. Yeah. 95% of their income comes from advertising. You know, billions and billions and billions from advertising, and perhaps they'll pivot and turn into like the AI company, but
I feel like they'll just use AI for ad optimization.
Right, right. So to me, Apple is the one that's the least ambitious, honestly.
Yeah, I think so too.
Google's got some big dreams, but they're also extremely idealistic. Facebook is the wild card for me. I can't get a handle on Facebook, but Amazon is like truly diversified.
Yeah. Amazon wants to be your number one go-to for everything.
Mm-hmm. Like not, and when you say that, I took it not just to mean like consumer packaged goods, everything.
Everything.
Everything you're a customer of, they want to get it to you.
Yeah. I mean, I use an Amazon service to control my Christmas tree lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I turn on my freaking lights with Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, they bought the, you know, we shop at this Whole Foods near our house. Like they're everywhere. Their trucks are everywhere. They're like to me, Amazon's more Skynet than Google.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it's, but, or to put it another way, I could almost, let me see if this is true. Let me think about this. I'm trying to think of something that would be harder to give up than Amazon. Like what, in terms of like, I don't even know what to call them. I don't even see them as like an internet company. They're so much bigger than that.
No, they are. And they're, I could not give up Amazon between
AWS.
AWS.
There's some other options, but the switching costs would be massive. And like literally everything we bought for Christmas, the majority of it was from Amazon and the rest of it was from Target.
Yeah, same here. It's like if I was going to give up Amazon, then I might as well just like go off the grid and live in a cabin in the woods somewhere.
Exactly. Right. It's like it's like opting out of society. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So to me, that's way scarier than like without net neutrality, there will be no way to innovate in Silicon Valley businesses or whatever the argument is.
You'll have to pay an extra $12 a month to play video games.
Or like it's YouTube to me is the YouTube to me is vulnerable because of this.
Yeah.
Netflix is vulnerable, but I feel like they are deeply involved in this fight.
Yeah, I feel like they are. And I actually care less about Netflix than I do YouTube in that regard. I would if it suddenly got super expensive to continue with Netflix, I'd be like, eh, fine, whatever, no more Netflix.
Yeah, because guess what? Yeah, me too. You want to know why? Because Amazon Prime Video.
Amazon Prime, yeah.
So here's the funny thing, because to me, it's not about the money, and maybe that's like rich white guy talking, but, you know, I'm totally going to get yelled at for this one. Okay, ready? I don't think broadband in your home should be unlimited. Like, why is it unlimited? like, why, like, it's one thing to say that you should be able to go wherever you want on like an equal playing field. Like, I should be able to go to Hacker News if I want. I should be able to go to Pinterest if I want. And they shouldn't be able to decide where I go. That'd be like the U.S. government telling, well, I guess they can kind of do this, but I was going to say telling me where I could drive on the roads.
Yeah, they kind of do.
they kind of can, but they don't tell you what car to buy.
Going back to the water analogy, it would be like paying your water company X dollars a month for the usage of the pipes, but then being able to like leave your faucets running 24/7 without any additional cost.
Right. Like, to me, it seems reasonable to me that, look, charging in a way that would prevent congestion makes sense to me. And I know that this is something that's talked about at length from a tech perspective, and I think that it's kind of debunked that there's such a thing as traffic.
Yeah, I mean, this used to be the way the internet worked until the technology improved. I mean, back in the dial-up days.
Right.
Back in the dial-up days, you paid for X number of hours online or X number of megabytes of data or that sort of thing.
Right. And so now here's the thing. Anybody listening to this, let's just say that everybody that listens to the show is a bleeding heart liberal. That is not true, but let's just say. The bleeding heart liberals that I know, and I would count myself pretty close to that group, so I'm not trying to be a jerk, are super into recycling, shutting off the lights when they leave the room, not leaving their shower running when no one's in it, not letting their kids leave the refrigerator open. And in all of those cases, bear with me because this is a little bit of a stretch.
Okay.
But in all of those cases, you're wasting a resource, whether it's plentiful or not, that does have some kind of an impact. I think that's fair to say. Okay, because all of those things, you're either wasting water or you're using electricity that does not need to be used, which creates a bigger carbon footprint and so on and so forth. You can make that exact same argument, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you can make that exact same argument for leaving every iPad in the house running 24/7, which is exactly what we do. Because the data that's getting, and the data itself isn't generated by like an oil refinery the way, say, electricity might be or a coal plant. But there are computers running somewhere in the world that are delivering that video to my kids' iPads. And those use electricity. So maybe it's an order of magnitude smaller than leaving the refrigerator open.
Hang on, we got a sticky emergency.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I want to stop this and finish it in a bit.
Okay. And we're back.
Yeah.
That was fun. I think probably what happened was Verizon invalidated our security certificates.
Yeah, it probably did. Yeah.
They heard us. Yeah. Welcome to the post-net neutrality internet, folks.
You know how we were saying nothing bad would happen?
Yeah. The internet heard us and brought in our important sites down, so we had to go address that.
Like, oh, it'll be okay. Internet, hold my beer.
Seriously. All right. So if I remember correctly, literally an hour ago, we were talking about, I'm going to stop belaboring the point. I was having fun belaboring the point, but I'm going to summarize by saying that lots of my Trigger friends don't leave their water running and their refrigerators open because they like to conserve resources. And having unlimited broadband in your house promotes wasting a limited resource, because none of this stuff comes without electricity. So if you come home like I do and your kids have 17 iPads playing YouTube in every room, that's wasteful. But who cares? It's free. So maybe it's not the worst thing in the world to imagine having broadband have data caps the way that phones do, because I think very differently about my internet usage, I literally mean internet usage, not web. I think very differently about my data usage on a phone than I do at home or in the office. And maybe that's not a bad thing.
As long as they're not controlling what you can see when you choose to use it.
Right. let me spend my money going to the sites that I want to go to, whether that's something goofy or illicit or politically incorrect or against the current administration, or, you know, like I should be able to go to whatever site or use any app or BitTorrent any movie that I want and take the risks associated with that. And if you, Verizon, want to charge me for every bit involved in the download, that stinks compared to Unlimited, but Unlimited does lead to a particular kind of behavior that I think a small minority can perhaps exploit to create network traffic for other people. I don't know. Maybe I'm probably stretching it, but you know, think about any other place in your life that you have unlimited access to resources that doesn't exist.
Other than, you know, air.
Well, go to India or China.
Yeah, true. Where air quality is questionable.
Right. So, okay. We should probably wrap up because it's been a crazy day, but
yeah, it has been. I was just curious. I was going to look real quick and see how much internet I used last month.
Does your router tell you that?
My router tells us that. I'm checking right now.
That'd be a fascinating number. So you're like, I've literally never looked.
Well, I am checking right now. I logged into the wrong service.
We have nonstop Pandora playing through Alexa devices, nonstop. Like almost every waking hour, we're streaming music into the house. Oh, she heard me. And we're paying for the music, but should we also be paying for the delivery? So we're paying for the access to the music. Should we also pay for the kind of unlimited delivery of the music? I mean, honestly, that seems reasonable. The thing that doesn't seem reasonable to me is charging for the person who owns the pipes to charge me differently for the kind of water that's going through the pipes, not the amount of water that's going through the pipes. I'm sure I would probably be embarrassed to see the amount, the number of gigabytes that flow into our home every month. It would be shocking. It's probably 50 times more than the whatever my phone plan is.
I'm going to check for the month of November because that gives me a full month.
So you can see you can sort of see the argument is like, oh, okay. But then what if Disney strikes a deal with Verizon, which is our home service, that they are able to, that we don't get charged for Disney videos. Those are free. It kind of comes down to like, oh, this is interesting. This is a whole separate topic. And I know we're wrapping up, but just to stall while you're looking up your numbers. If you imagine that people only watch what's free and aren't going to pay $3 extra to watch something they actually like, then you could see how that would have an effect on culture. But that's a super cynical view that people don't value content, so they'd rather watch something free than pay $1 to watch something amazing.
No, I'll gladly pay for good content.
Yeah. So, yeah, but we'll just let my kids watch the free stuff. Okay, so you're going to let your kids watch crappy free junk.
Yeah, and I mean, there's the argument that, oh, you know, people aren't going to pay. Like, well, if they can afford to pay, they're generally going to pay. Mm. If they can't, you weren't going to get their money anyway. And it looks like, on average, my entire household, that's all of the internet-connected devices and the husband playing games and me doing development work and the kid playing games and me doing software development, it looks like we average about 500 gigabytes a month.
That's what I would guess. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, which is like 100 times what I do on my phone in a month. And I'll bet you if that's true with three people, I don't know though, because if he's gaming, I would have guessed 500 gigabyte for my house too, but it's mostly YouTube, Netflix, and Amazon Video. Got it. It's got to be. And Pandora. Oh, I'm going to check when I go home. That's a super interesting question. But 500 gigabytes, that would cost you like, let's see, $7 million if it was on a cellular plan.
Yeah. Yeah. We have our family shares a data plan for a phone, and we use about 2.5 gigabytes a month for that. And the kid is good for two of those.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I just, I admit that it, okay, we're playing devil's advocate here, and it gets dark, and there's all, you know, like, oh, well, does the change in these regulations mean that Verizon can inject ads into the stream that you're listening to independent of the service that you've subscribed to? So like, I'm watching Game of Thrones on, I think I watch it on Amazon Video, and they can just pause the video and insert an ad in the middle of it, like arbitrarily.
Again, going back to treating it like it was cable television.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it'll be wild to watch this play out. It's the horse out of the barn. It's revoked or repealed or pulled back or gutted, whatever you want to call it. So we'll see what happens. But I've got my fingers crossed that the behemoth telecoms won't really be able to meaningfully change anything that's going to affect the mass market on a broad basis before the next Democrats in the White House, even if that takes 8 years.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, dear listener.
Mostly we just want to take a nap.
Yeah. And honestly, we're just trying to get some email feedback from you guys because we haven't heard much from you lately. So if this doesn't do it, we know nobody's listening.
Maybe you're all as tired of it as we are.
Yeah. So go to terrifyingrobotdog.com to sign up for the mailing list so you can figure out how to yell at us most effectively.
That caps lock key.
Yep. As long as Verizon doesn't block it, you'll be able to yell at us nonstop. That's it for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.